The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Monday edition, a glorious day. But it seems like there might be some storminess on the horizon. Well, save the storminess for the 4 o'clock hour. A stormy Monday for some. The jury selection has begun in Manhattan, in New York. So we'll be excited to talk about that later in this big show. And you can always be a part. We got Rich here on the board. He's lately screening your phone calls. 844-967-2789. We're going to do a little commerce today as well. You can't see it, but trust me, I am wearing a glorious Devil Radio brand new shiny swag t-shirt, and we're going to tell you how to buy them. You've been begging us for a decade. We got off our dead asses. There is a Devil Radio swag store, and we'll tell you about it today on the big show. Also, 420 for some of us, those that celebrate, we'll have our friend Alan Robinson, a sponsor partner from the Herbal Aspect. It's going to come in the big show, 420. Dom will join later in the big show as well in the 4 o'clock hour, so we'll get there. But let's start today with Tax Day. And I'll be honest with you, I don't celebrate Tax Day. Scotty Wanker used to say something to the effect, We celebrate Independence Day, our independence from government, not Tax Day, the day when we pay government. Remember when that wanker used to say stuff like that? Well, nobody's happy, Scott, to pay their taxes. But most of us here in a formerly progressive state like the great state of Wisconsin, most of us know that that's part of being good citizens. Good neighbors, taking care of our friends and family and the commons. We pool our money and it's government. You know, whether we want to or not, that's a whole different argument. But today is Happy Income Tax Day. Well, at least that's the headline over at the Cap Times. Dave Zweifel, he says, well, Happy Income Tax Day, unless you're not rich. That would be me, Dave. So let's read. Happy Income Tax Day. Like most Americans, you weren't happy if you had to send the government some extra money today, in addition to all the withholding that came out of your paychecks during 2023. I want to be honest with you. I've been self-employed for a long time, and typically I don't even bother trying to calculate my taxes on April 15th. You know, I take the later date. And sometimes, in this radio business, not always been profitable. So sometimes I've deferred, you know, actually taking a good hard look at how much money I lost. And sometimes the government's owed me money. I know it seems strange, or at least a offset, because many, many times I have owed the government money. But I hardly ever have had it come out as a traditional W-2 working stiff does each and every paycheck. That's typically how the government works. They take your money. Each and every day, each and every payday is tax day for you. Anyways, back to this article, and then I'll give you a few of my opinions. But you paid your taxes to help keep the government running, providing for the national defense, building new roads and bridges, protecting the nation's health and assisting low-income folks to get health coverage, helping the country's farmers, there's a lot of them, sending aid to colleges and local schools. I do a lot of that. Supporting victims of natural disaster, including the destruction of Francis Scott Key Bridge and hundreds of other services, not to mention paying the interest on the national debt. Well, I bet I've thrown a couple of shekels towards that as well. Zweifel writes at the Cap Times, too bad, though, that not everyone has to pay their fair share like most of you do. As the nonprofit news site ProPublica reported in a revealing investigation a couple of years ago, secret Internal Revenue Service files shed a glaring light on how the wealthy in America avoid paying taxes. The data published by the news organization provided an unprecedented look inside the financial lives of Americans' titans, including Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Rupert Murdoch, and Mark Zuckerberg, that showed not just their income and taxes, but also their investments, stock trades, gambling winnings, and even the result of audits. Here's a quote from ProPublica. Taken together, it demolishes the cornerstone myth of the American tax system, that everyone pays their fair share, and that the richest Americans pay the most. The IRS records show that the wealthiest can, perfectly legally, pay income taxes that are only a tiny fraction of the hundreds of millions, if not billions, their fortunes grow each year. And just 2 months ago, the IRS commissioner, Danny Werfel, announced that the nation's millionaires and billionaires are evading more than $150 billion each year in taxes, adding to the growing government deficits and creating a lack of fairness in the tax system. And that's just under the current tax rules, folks. Thanks to billions of dollars in new funding from Congress, Werfel said the IRS has launched a crackdown on this inequality, although efforts to get billionaires and multinational corporations to pay up have notoriously failed, and those who are able to afford high-powered lawyers to take advantage of every loophole in the tax code. You know, I think Donald Trump's got a few loopholes he would litigate through the courts every now and again. You know, he'll show you his taxes after he gets the audit done. Well, anyways, there are high-powered lawyers to take advantage of every loophole in the tax code and have creatively found ways to avoid taxes that most of the rest of America pays. Why? Because they grab it out of your paycheck, but I read on. And Congress, of course, has no stomach to ask the wealthy to pay more. Both sides of the political aisle are beholden to big money donors. Instead of asking them to pay more to get a handle on the national debt, our politicians have lavished them with tax cuts. You remember the Trump tax cuts? It's the only real accomplishment of his presidency. Tax cuts. The failure of the tax system to treat taxpayers fairly has contributed to the ever-increasing disparity between the rich and poor in America. And as Dave Zweifel writes here, April 15th serves to remind us of how unfair it has become. Yeah, rich people have different tax codes. Self-employed people and, corporate owners, they certainly benefit from different tax codes. The working stiff, they're carrying the load for the entire federal government, seemingly. You know, there's been this movement afoot, and we're going to talk about it later because it helped to give rise to Trump. But you remember the Tea Party, the taxed enough already sentiment? And it was sort of an anti-government sentiment. But it wasn't completely off base in this regard. The average citizen is taxed too much. The average working stiff is paying a higher than their portion share of the federal government taxes. And it doesn't seem fair because rich corporations, they escape, often tax-free. They get the benefits. They know the tax codes. They'll put it off. They'll challenge every aspect. And only when the IRS finally proves that they do indeed owe this money, then and only then do corporations pay. In the meantime, they've had the benefit of all their money. You know, any investments they've grown, any dividends they've paid, any benefit to the stock price, well, you know, they've seen that benefit from here until the IRS proves them otherwise. You know, because you claim your taxes, right? You claim your taxes. And an aggressive tax accountant paired with a aggressive tax attorney. I mean, look at the example of Donald Trump. Fraud runs rampant in people's tax returns. I strongly suspect. I don't know this for sure. My accountant always said, be aggressive. Just don't be too aggressive. You know, you don't want to break any laws. But if you can document any sort of a write-off, any sort of an expense, can you twist it into a business expense? I certainly hope so, because it's a write-off, Jerry. That's what I've always hoped for. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But it's tax day. How you feeling? Still gathering your stuff together? Still got to, you know, call H&R Block tonight? See if they can squeeze you in? Well, at some point today, at some point during the course of the evening, I will request an extension of my personal income taxes. I feel quite confident that is today's course of action. Because I haven't taken any effort, one iota, to try and calculate what I might actually owe to the federal government or vice versa. You know, strangely, the government owed me a tax return last year. I had a bad experience with my former tax processor. I'll try to leave them out of, you know, conversation on the radio. I am bitter. I did fire my accountant last year. Bitter. You know when my taxes got filed for 2022? And you're supposed to file them in April of 2023. And I had a tax provider, you know, I seek the extension. And I filed my business taxes, but I didn't file my personal taxes until October 16th, which technically was the furthest delayed day they possibly give you. And here's the great news. The tax preparer did a great job with the preparation of the taxes. I got a big tax return, which helped to offset the fact I still owed for a few previous years. So me and my Uncle Sam, we squared up last year. It was great news. But, the transmission of the taxes from their office, you know, the e-signing and the sending over to the IRS, you know when the IRS processed my taxes? March 25th of 2024. That's when I got the benefit. You know, they owed me money for a change. In the meantime, I'm paying 12%. I'm paying all the interest, and I did make monthly payments. This will be the first month. I haven't yet had to make what used to become a custom. So I do pay the IRS. It's sort of a running tab. Sometimes it goes up. Sometimes it goes down. As of this moment in history, I think it's zero. But only because I'm extending my, you know, my 2023 is till October. Come back. Happy Tax Day.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. We're going to get stormy up in here, but not until the 4 o'clock happy hour. Let Dom join in the frivolity. In the meantime, talking a little tax policy, it is tax day for some of you suckers, those that pay. I extend and then pay the penalties and fees typically. You know, it's sort of a running balance, but at this moment in history, I feel confident, despite the late filing of my last year taxes, I'm at a zero balance with the IRS at this moment in history. So, you know, we're starting with fresh clock. Eric Hudvey, the rich guy, Richie Rich, Laguna Beach, Eric Hudvey, with the porn stash, you know this guy, running for the U.S. Senate as a Republican, and he fits many of the, let's just say, broad brush stereotypes of the Republican Party. This guy more than most. Daniel Bice, over on the Page Six at the Journal Sentinel, writing, Senate candidate Eric Hudvey has learned to love tax credits for solar energy he used to hate. And it's interesting, as we get into this article, he's going to assure you, I think, he still hates it. But anyways, you tell me. As Bice writes, what a difference 12 years make. Back in 2012, Republican U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hudvey said he was wholeheartedly opposed to tax credits for green energy, much to the delight of the conservative audience at a GOP primary debate. This is crony capitalism at its worst, Hudby said. He also took shots online at one of his opponents for taking such credits. How dare they? Now Hudby has flipped the switch. In 2021, Hudby started pitching his bank clients on, and here's what they quote, big solar green energy tax credits. A year later, Hudby's SunWest Bank launched a solar finance division. Commercial solar loans allow building owners to take advantage of tax credits and depreciation. That's a write-off, Jerry. Last year, SunWest committed to funding more than $200 million in commercial solar projects annually. Annually, $200 million per year. And pointed to solar credits contained in President Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act. This is Hudby's bank bragging about Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act and solar credits. We are always looking for ways to save our clients time and money, as well as make their business more efficient. So what happened? Dan Bice writes, why are Hudby's Utah-based bank so fired up about tax credits for those using solar power? His critics say it's all about the bottom line. He likes solar energy now because his banks can profit from it. Well, isn't it always about the bottom line? Here's a quote. Eric Wolk, Rapid Response Director of the State Democratic Party. Eric Hudby is your typical self-serving rich politician who says one thing and does the other, all to line his own pockets and make a quick buck. You know, I hate to throw out these straight quotes from the Democratic Party, Mr. Hudby, but you're kind of living it. In an interview, Hudby didn't deny that he reversed course on the issue. In fact, he can even pinpoint when that happened. He said he first started getting inquiries about solar energy 4 or 5 years ago. Then I started looking at it in 21, and I was like, actually, my assumptions were wrong. Do you think this is the only topic, Eric, where your assumptions might have been wrong? And again, I didn't realize how the technology changed. It has not changed that dramatically. First, he said the cost of solar power has collapsed in the past decade. That part might be true. And solar technology has gotten much better and less clear. For instance, he said the batteries, that part might be true, have improved so people can draw on solar power even at night. Yeah, that's always been the concept of batteries, sir. Battery storage and battery storage technology is really improving, he said. The one good thing about mankind is, you know, we're very innovative species. At the same time, Hudby said the cost of electricity has been skyrocketing, hence, you know, the profit-taking. Especially in places such as California, where SunWest has three banks. He provided charts showing San Diego Gas and Electric boosted its rates by 78% over the last 12 years. And Pacific Gas and Electric has hiked its by 47%, both far outpacing the rate of inflation over that period. Beyond that, he said hospitals and cold storage facilities need round-the-clock power that several California communities have experienced brownouts because of excess electricity demand. Here he said solar power can step in and provide the energy that is needed. Yeah, the high demand times are during the day. And solar power, I don't know if you've looked out the window, but when the sun's shining, that's the best time. That's the best time for solar. I'm just saying, Eric. Today, tax credits are beneficial because the underlying usage makes sense, he said. Well, how did we get to this point? Of course, the government incentivizes the technology to make it more user-friendly and more affordable for the consumer until it's self-sustaining, sir. But Hudby emphasized that he remains dubious about providing tax credits for other forms of green energy, such as wind turbines and electric vehicles. Neither, he said, is economically viable. And he called the credits for them tax games and tax schemes. But not for solar anymore. Now that they benefit your bank and you see it as a shrewd investment, you see that as viable tech. But windmills, because windmills, the wind's going to stop blowing someday. Hudby said he also believes that anyone who thinks they can make the economy from its traditional, move the economy from its traditional fuel sources in the next decade or so is smoking crack cocaine.
That's a strong statement, sir. My wife gets a little touchy whenever I crack a statement about smoking cocaine. Doesn't like the crack jokes. Worldwide, Hudvey said, consumption of oil, gas, and coal has increased by 58% between 1995 and 2022. Might be true. By contrast, experts say planet-warming fossil fuels are neither sustainable nor safe, and bold action is needed to keep more lives from being put at risk. They say the world is already experiencing many climate change links, extreme weather events, including the hottest 12 months ever recorded. In short, Hudvey says it's unfair to say, he has flip-flopped since he called green energy tax credits crony capitalism in 2012. The ground has shifted since he argued. So if you can talk about green energy credits today versus 12, 14 years ago, it's like talking night and day. It's just a totally different market. Hudvey said he would love to debate Baldwin on the issue of energy. He said he's so interested in the issue because so much of the economy is tied to it. Oh, and you're so smart. I would love to see you debate Tammy Baldwin as well. While the Hudvey Baldwin debate is probably not happening anytime soon, instead, Hudvey will have to settle for squaring off against Baldwin's various surrogates. Here's one, Alexandria DeLuca. Statement about, you know, our buddy Hudvey. He's a rich guy who wants to be richer, and now he wants to be in the U.S. Senate, and will do and say anything to make that happen. What this has shown is that you can't trust Hudvey to tell the truth, act in anyone's interest outside his own, or be transparent about the issues facing Wisconsinites. Well, he lives in California, folks. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. I live here. It's glorious in Madison. Call us 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Monday edition, tax day. I just got a snarky text from a 17-year-old. My business partner in a new endeavor. And he said, income taxes are cool, but drop the website URL. The new partnership, devilradioswag.com. So that's a start point. Let me tell you why my 17-year-old, my youngest son, my senior, who has been our marketing intern and has been helping us around here at Devil Radio. You know, that's what we call this little endeavor, the greatest radio show ever. We call it Devil Radio. And he's enrolled in the old man's alma mater. He's going up to La Crosse. And, you know, he's got a better head on his shoulders. I was quite immature at that age. I went up there to party. He's going up there to learn something, so he says. I believe him. And this little exercise, this small business exercise, well, it's our little partnership. So help my kid go to college because dad's running out of money and it's damn expensive. I already got one kid in college. So if you want the other kid to have a chance, consider going to devilradioswag.com. Here's what we got. It's been a decade in the making, right? My kid's been hearing people ask me, and it literally happened last night. I went to Quick Trip. Nice guy. Dan works at the Quick Trip. Always says hi. Fan of the show. Dan's a fan. And Dan said, you got swag yet? I said, by chance. We now have a live website, devilradioswag.com. You know, like swag, S-W-A-G, devil radio, singular, swag.com. And now we've got a variety of things you can buy. Not super many, you know. I know people with choices. But we've got the, and I'm wearing a stunning Devil Radio, Devil's Advocates Radio, accurately, black slimming t-shirt, Tom's favorite. So we got the black t-shirts, we got the white t-shirts, we got the gray t-shirts, and then we've got the crew neck sweatshirts in a couple different colors. And I wore the hoodie. I wore the hoodie. I will warn you, though, if you get the black t-shirt, and it is slimming, I look sexy, and you get the new hoodie, and I happen to be wearing, sporting the gray hoodie, like many new hoodies, has that fuzzy inside feeling, but it will leave a little bit of fuzz on your brand new black t-shirt, so you'll have to take some tape and, you know, take it off your shirt. But if you go to the devilradioswag.com, you can be amongst the first to contribute to my son's college sustaining business endeavor. Because if this doesn't work out, it's trade school or a job for the kid. Help him out. He needs the dues. devilradioswag.com. Also, beautiful coffee mugs. Look at this. Very nice. I'm not a coffee guy. I'm actually going to give this as a gift. Did we mention Devil's Advocates Radio stuff? Best gift ever. Weddings, bar mitzvahs. Here's the point. Unlike U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hudvey, I'm not a rich man, not even close, and not even gainfully employed. You know, this small business endeavor. You know, I feel pretty confident rich on the trajectory I'm on next year or currently. You know, the IRS is going to owe me some money again next year. So let's change that. Let's raise some tuition sustaining dollars by buying the coolest radio show ever, the greatest radio show ever, swag, one last time, and then Karsten, get off my ass. devilradioswag.com. Get it. You will be super cool. I'm sporting it now. I ordered last Sunday, just so you know what to expect. Now, the shipping and handling, it's additional. This is not Amazon Prime, so you got to pay for the shipping. But I ordered a t-shirt, a sweatshirt, couple of sweatshirts, one for Karsten, one for the young guy. And, you know, he's got to wear the colors, represent, and all that kind of stuff. And then I got the mug. And the mug seemed like, the mug was well-priced, like our price on the mug. It's a good price, like $15. Coffee mugs, I've seen them for more than that. Anyways, but the shipping's like a little bit pricey relative to the fact it's a mug. I thought, oh man, this thing came in an indestructible box. Like it was the right way to ship the greatest coffee mug for, you know, the Devil's Advocates ever. So a little bit more, but you're going to safely get this mug. Now, the t-shirts, the brand is Gildan, and the mugs may have been made in China, but, you know, don't look on the bottom. Because, you know, it's just for putting on the shelf or drinking your coffee or tequila as that might. So anyways, one last time, devilradioswag.com. Now I'm moving on. Now we can be friends and you can wear the same clothes I wear. Back to rich guy, Eric Hudvey. His fundraising numbers are in, Rich, and, you know, one must be encouraged. He's a new candidate. He jumped in the race, and he raised over $9 million. That's a lot of jing. $9 million? That's a lot of money. That's a lot of coffee mugs. Pay my son's tuition easily. But as our pal Jesse Poyen over at the Journal Sentinel reports, Republican U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hudvey raised $9.1 million in the first quarter of 2024. His campaign reported to the Federal Elections Commission. But here's the but. That includes an $8 million loan the banking and real estate mogul made to his fund to fund the effort to deny Senator Tammy Baldwin a third term. So far, he's in for $8 million. As a loan, you know, because then you get some benefits, some write-offs. I'm sure he's getting some good tax advice. Hudvey has spent $3.7 million on his campaign this year, leaving him with $5.3 million in the bank heading into the summer. Hudvey previously ran for the Senate in 12, but finished a close second to former Wisconsin Republican Governor Tommy Thompson in the primary. Thompson went on to lose to Baldwin by nearly 6 points. And Hudvey also weighed a race against Baldwin in 18, but backed off and briefly considered a run for governor in 2022. Well, it worked out so well for not Governor Tim Michaels, you know, when he called Wisconsinites lazy. But you're rich. If you got $8 million, isn't that sort of getting to be Ron Johnson territory? When that guy ran for the U.S. Senate, if I recall, he then got done with his race and took what he claimed was $9 or $10 million from Paycor. The corporation is family-owned, owned with his brother-in-law, apparently, and claimed he had, you know, been storing up his deferred compensation, had some overtime coming, and paid himself back like $9 million. So he self-funded to the tune of $9 million. And if you'll recall, this Hudvey guy, if he wins, he's not even taking the check, not even taking the paycheck. I don't need the money. 174 grand. How many years? How many years would you have to, you know, make $174,000 a year to even pay back the $8 million? How long is that going to take you, sir? I should do the math here. I'm not great at doing math on the radio, but let's see. 8 million divided by $174,000. Yep. 46 years. That is not a good return on investment unless you crave the power and the access to the inside information. Because if I was a banker, it'd be very fortuitous to be on some, you know, Senate committees, have some special insights. Here is what Hudvey said. The man, you know, doesn't even need the $174,000 per year paycheck. I worked hard, been fortunate. I don't need their special interest money, and I won't take it. Well, I did hear him on Clay and Buck. You know, Clay and Buck, national talk radio host. They've replaced Rush Limbaugh in the middle of the day, you know, where they're not playing the Dan Bongino show. And they had Eric Hudvey on the other day. And it's remarkable that the $8 million and counting man was asking other, us peasants, for our contributions to his campaign. And I understand that's the way you play the game. You ask other people to help fund. But he wasn't even offering you a super cool Devil's Advocates Radio coffee mug or a t-shirt. You didn't even get gear for that. Just give me money. Yeah, I've already thrown $8 million in, but I'm hoping to pay my loan back to me, to my campaign. So with your money, I'm going to, you know, take some of my money off the table. I suspect. We'll see how he does. 844-967-2789. Our pal, Richel, lightly screen your phone calls. Just be coherent. More than the former president. You know, he's at trial today. We'll get to the stormy weather a little bit later in the show. But back to Eric Hudvey, the very wealthy man. Now, Hudvey has suggested he could put up as much as $20 million of his own money into his campaign. In comparison, Republican businessman Tim Michaels put up $19 million into his unsuccessful bid for the 2022 gubernatorial bid. And former Milwaukee Bucks executive Alex Lazary fueled his unsuccessful Democratic Senate primary bid with $15 million in his own funds. Is this a good investment, boys? I mean, how rich do you have to be that you're throwing in $15 or $19 million to freaking lose? 844-967-2789. Joe from Madison. Welcome, Joe. How you been?
Hey, great. Thanks. Very much interested in the swag. And believe me, I took a look at the T-shirts. Quite nice. So I would be placing my order. But I'm calling about Mr. Hudvey. Speaking of businessmen, and talk about how, what an upward advantage you have if daddy has money and you are basically sliding into your life with a lot of cash in your back pocket. Here we have a man who is supposed to be a businessman, right? He's running banks. And he says about energy. I mean, the exact quote in that Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article is horrifying. He describes this green energy as, quote, being a crony capitalism. And then I started looking at it, he said. Actually, my assumptions were wrong. And there's the part that just shocked me. Wouldn't you, if you were running for office, not run on your assumptions and maybe kind of look and do some research, even if that was too hard for him to do? He surely has people working for him who could do this research. How hard is that, Crudy? Do research every day.
I know I do, Joe, but sometimes it forces me to change my mind. It forces me to think, well, I had some assumptions, but you know, they were wrong. They were wrong. And sometimes I'm forced to change my mind on topics. And Joe, I would say, you know, this one specific thing. Well, what he changed his mind on? Well, the benefit to his stockholders, the benefit to the corporate bottom line. And where is that benefit specifically being garnered from, Joe? Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act. The solar credits that he's embracing for his clients are literally the benefits being brought to you by the Biden administration.
And how about some mention about that when he's being asked about that? And to say this, the reason why this is such a good deal for the economy and for the environment is because of what Joe Biden did. But of course, he can't, you know, provide Mr. Biden with any credit at all. And it's just, I mean, this is continual with this guy, I think. And that's the part that's kind of scary, Crudy, is this is a man who does not do his homework. I mean, he blew it apart a week or two ago with his whole comments about nursing home residents and how long they're living. And gee, maybe they shouldn't be allowed to vote at the end of their life because they're not, you know, they're not going to last that long, which, of course, was garbage. He'd done no research on how long people live once they're in a nursing home, or even that idea that their vote should be canceled if they are close to the end of life. Or previously in his campaign in 2012, when he was saying farmers don't work as hard as they used to. It's actually just driving around in a tractor. I would ask you, how does he know? When was the last time he's been in Wisconsin, number one, number two, on a Wisconsin farm, number three, talking to Wisconsin farmers about the issues that are important to them? I mean, this idea of they're just, you know, sailing around on a tractor, for God's sake, that isn't the bulk of their work day. I mean, it's ludicrous. Anyway, more can be said about this, Crudy, and I'm sure you can take up the baton. Thanks.
Well, more can certainly be said. Come back with us. If I was a rich man, I wouldn't be asking you to buy the t-shirts and the coffee mugs and the crew necks and the hoodies at Devil Radio Swag. I'd be running for the U.S. Senate, perhaps, but buy the swag. My kids' college education depends upon it.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. The Monday edition is going to get real big up in here. We're going to turn our attentions to stormy weathers. A stormy Monday edition. Dom's going to join soon. You can join right now. Call us 844-967-2789. If you don't have your taxes done by now, just file the extension. Do what Crudy does. Larry from Fitchburg. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Hey, Trudy. No, let me preface this by saying that I are not a college graduate. but in my mind, that you just said that Tim Michaels self-funded for what, $19 million?
Yes.
And Ron Johnson self-funded for how much was it?
About $9 million. Claimed he was owed some deferred compensation, and then.
Oh yeah, yeah. And Hovde so far has self-funded for $8 million.
Committed up to 20 if necessary, Larry. All for a $174,000 a year job. The math doesn't add up. Takes 46 years.
He's not going to take that because he doesn't want the special interest money.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, my friend, but if you can self-fund in those figures, you are the special interest.
Absolutely, Larry. Is he not?
It's just ludicrous. And I agree with his comments on the farmers. I'd like to see him in an older tractor that is not self-enclosed with air conditioning or anything going cross-furrow across the field.
Well,
that would be fun to watch.
Larry, I'd like to see him fix it once it breaks down. Because to my understanding, you know, occasionally the tractor breaks down and a few guys have lost a few fingers and a few arms trying to get those things back on track.
Yeah. It's just the same Republican stuff.
Larry.
You know, they are the special interest if they can self-fund to that degree. I'm sorry.
That's an excellent point, Larry. Self-funder. Well, let's talk about the needs of business interest. You know, today being tax day, the business group came out and sued Governor Tony Evers for trying to fund the schools. Let me read a little of the coverage here, but specifically talking about the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. And let's not forget, manufacturers in the state of Wisconsin pay a 0.4% taxation rate. Not 4%, 0.4%, a fraction of 1%. The Manufacturers and Agribusiness Tax Credit in the state of Wisconsin has been a budget buster since Walker, but because Tony Evers used his Frankenstein veto to extend a long-term funding source to the school districts, they're suing over it. Well, let's read. Attorneys with Wisconsin's largest business lobby today asked the state Supreme Court to strike down Governor Tony Evers' use of a partial veto authority to increase funding for public schools for the next four centuries. Now, the four-century deal, that's a little extreme, but anyways, the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce Litigation Center is representing two Wisconsin taxpayers, Jeffrey Lemieux and David DeFalk, and timed the filing to coincide with tax day. The lawsuit was filed as an original action petition, which means the attorneys are asking the state's highest court to bypass lower courts and take it up directly. WMC Litigation Center Deputy Director Nathan Kane said, "The law is clear. Voters and their elected legislators are the ones in power to increase taxes. No one else." Now, Evers, a Democrat, used his partial veto authority in July to ensure school districts state-imposed limits on how much revenue they are allowed to raise will be increased by $325 per student each year until 2425. And he crafted the four-century school aid extension by striking a hyphen and a 20 from the reference to the 2024-25 school year, resulting in the single highest single-year increase in revenue limits in the state's history. Republicans and their allies will stop at nothing to take away resources from our kids and our public schools, Evers spokeswoman Britt Kutubek said in a statement. Republicans' latest lawsuit aims to strip over $300 from every student at every public school in Wisconsin for the foreseeable future, even as millions of Wisconsinites are being forced to raise their own property taxes to help our schools make ends meet. That's bad for our kids. That's bad for our schools. And it's wrong for Wisconsin. Now, Wisconsin gives its governor some of the most sweeping executive powers in the country, although partial veto authority has been scaled back over time. And the Republican-led state Senate voted last year to override the veto, which requires a two-thirds majority. But the assembly, where the GOP majority falls short of two-thirds, did not take it up. Earlier this year, Republican lawmakers reintroduced a proposed constitutional amendment that would bar governors from using a partial veto to increase any tax or fee. WMC's Litigation Center Executive Director Scott Rosenau said this: "The governor overstepped his authority with this partial veto at the expense of taxpayers, and we believe oversight by the court is necessary." Now, at one time, Wisconsin governors could veto individual letters to create new words known as the Vanna White veto. "Could you buy me a vowel, please?" Or strike words from two or more sentences to make new sentences known as the Frankenstein veto. Voters eliminated governor's ability to make such changes in 1990 and 2008, respectively. Until Evers' budget action in July, governors had used vetoes to increase tax spending levels above levels set by lawmakers 31 times since 1991, and increased bonding levels 7 times during that time, according to analysis from the nonpartisan Legislative Reference Bureau. What's that mean? It's happened plenty of times before. Governors have done this, 31 times prior since 1991? Increasing bonding several times? 7 times. 7, several. About the same, but let's be precise. Now, the WMC lawsuit asked the court, which currently has a liberal majority, to strike down Evers' veto and declare that the state constitution forbids the governor from striking individual digits in an enrolled bill to create a new year and does not authorize the governor to strike language in an enrolled bill to create a larger duration than the one approved by the legislature. We'll see. They want original jurisdiction. They want this to go immediately to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. They're very demanding. They don't even pay taxes. Well, 0.4% Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. It's a sweet deal if you can buy enough lobbyists and Republican legislators. Oh, yeah, and they had a compliant buddy in Scotty Wanker. He signed it into law. It's been blowing budgets in the state of Wisconsin ever since. Come back with us. Dom joins. You can join as well. 844-96-PARTY. It's a happy Monday.